brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
We're looking for that trophy at the end of the season. We're not looking for the person who scored the most points.
The atmosphere at some of these places is just absolutely electric.
They play hard. They're going to get after it. We're going to play 94 feet for an entire game.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, off-season edition. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so at Georgia Public Broadcasting, large device or small. And no, it's not a discussion on football this time, but because sports never stops with the GHSA and we are in the off-season, we are just around the corner, like days, moments, nanoseconds away from the high school basketball championships here on GPB. On all the GPBs, however you digest your GPB, that is where we're going to be at the Macon Coliseum and the Macon Centerplex Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We are there and we camp out, and then it's 4 days of massive basketball and some of the best in the country all in one place. Very special show this time around because we catch up, and I don't know if she wants to use the L word when it comes to defining who she is as a coach in the state of Georgia, but we catch up with one of the best coaches ever in the state in history, regardless of you're talking boys or girls hoops. Jan Azar at Hebron Christian, 16 titles, close to 800 career wins, most in the state of Georgia, which puts her like 100 in the like 111 to 120 nationally in history for wins for a high school coach. Jan Azar joins us to kind of catch up and how things are, and we've got a little bit of a surprise for her coming up in just a bit, and then we wrap up. We're going to be anchored at the Macon Coliseum and the Macon Centerplex for four straight days here on GPB. We catch up with two folks who are anchored in Macon for their jobs. It is the sports department at 13 WMAZ in Macon, Cecily Stout and Sammy Costas. We get the lowdown on the four teams that are there in the footprint. It is Wilcox County chasing after a title. It is East Lawrence chasing after their first. Southwest Macon, we know what they bring to the table, on the Houston County Sharks in adaptive championships. Coming up in just a little bit. So that is the rundown. It is Coach Azar, Cecily, Sammy, and me. Let's take you to Hebron Christian and catch up with one of the best that's ever done it, Jan Azar. Jan, before we started, I was going through some of the numbers of where you and I have had this symbiotic relationship over 23, 24 years of championship appearances and things like that.
Yep.
And actually, our executive producer, he found video of the 2004 championship with Wesleyan and Terrell County.
There we are.
Right there.
What does Nikki do? She hits two threes. Then
and that's okay with me. What we're trying to do is get it inside.
Wow,
so
look
that we can
how young we
outside.
Look.
Yeah, I had so much more hair.
Mine was redder than it is now.
But it was kind of funny to it was cool to sit there and say, yes, that this road that we have both been on, it's been really cool to see it evolve over time. And I was doing the math, 778 wins and 16 titles. Is that close?
I know the 16 titles is right. I don't know about the number of wins.
Because I was trying to do math, and me and math have never really meshed. But
right.
What did you learn about yourself in that first year that you were a head coach and you only won four games?
Yeah, you know, when I went into coaching, it was not to win trophies. That's just been a byproduct of, I guess, hopefully doing things the right way and motivating kids. It was just to, you know, do something that I loved, which was being around basketball and teaching and help girls reach their potential and the things that they do. So that first season, you know, winning four games, that was huge for us to win four games. So we probably shouldn't have won any. And those girls on that first team, in fact, I was texting with one of them the other night, and she was, you know, and she actually sent me a picture of that first team and said, you know, I remember these days. And the girl that I was texting with, her name's Dana Burney at the time, and she's now married, but she was our first college athlete, our first college player to go play at Presbyterian College. And so we were texting back and forth and laughing about those days, about, you know, teaching people how to make a layup. And so it, far different than what we're teaching now.
So how different is teaching slash coaching in today's environment with everything else going on around it, I guess, and how much have you learned about yourself in all of these years going forward?
Yeah, it's still the same concept, you know, teaching young women to believe that they can do anything that they wanted to be, that they can do anything that they want to do and be whatever they want to be and be the best at it and have a voice and be good leaders. And so it's still the same concept. You know, you've got a lot of obstacles now that you didn't have back then. You've got a lot of social media. You've got kids, you know, having to navigate financial stuff to go play in college with NIL and things like that. So that's a little bit different in helping navigate decisions. But ultimately for your female athlete, you know, for me, because I've never coached boys, it's, you know, helping them to reach their dream of going to college, playing in college if they choose to, being a part of a team, being a small piece of something bigger than themselves, and being focused on a team concept versus an individual concept. And that's how it all began anyway. It's just that we win more now.
So when you look at this team this year and you're chasing after another championship, it's almost like the sun rises in the east. We have to pay taxes in April and Jan Azar is chasing after a championship. What is it about this team that makes this year different than even last year or a couple of years before?
Yeah, this year, if you and some people did ask me, you know, how we were going to be this year. And, you know, I said, we're going to lose before we win. And so this team has surprised even me in their ability to want to win and winning some games that we probably shouldn't have won early in the season. We were not good this summer. We lost most of our games this summer trying to figure out the dynamic of this team and what makes us go. But nobody's winning a state championship during the summer. And so different combinations and trying to give all kids the opportunity and a chance to play after graduating 6 really good seniors, 5 who went on to play in college. So this team, the first part of the season was about finding its identity. And we kind of found it. And then all of a sudden, Gabby Minas came back in December. And so we had to then find a new identity because even though Gabby's a really, really good player, we had learned to play without her. And then we had to learn to play with her. And so this team, will probably go down as probably one of the most improved teams I've ever coached.
So, you know, someone comes walking in the door and they look at a player like Gabby and they look at all the talent that's across the board. How would you describe if things are going well for you? This is what you're going to see when you come walking in the door to the Coliseum.
You're going to see a group of girls that they play hard. They're going to get after it. We're going to play 94 feet for an entire game. And, you know, our offense is built on our defense. And, you know, but we have just really begun to gel. I mean, our best 2 games have been the last 2 games that we have played. And so it's been a roller coaster this year. I think we've probably had 20 something different starting lineups trying to figure it out. And we have our depth is very important to us. And our motto, you know, kind of with this playoff run is, you know, doesn't matter if you play 30 seconds or if you play 30 minutes. We need that 30 seconds or 30 minutes that you're on the floor after loose balls, that you are up in someone's face defensively, that you are pushing the tempo offensively. You're not going to miss a box out. And so this team is really just built on 13 girls who are all playing their part in this journey. We don't have anyone who's not a part of our success this season. I mean, everybody's put in a little bit of time here and there, some more than others, and nobody's going out and scoring 30, 40 a night. That just doesn't happen, but that's not the staple of my teams anyway. We rarely have someone. We're looking for that trophy at the end of the season. We're not looking for the person who scored the most points in you know, the state or the region or whatever we're in.
20 different starting lineups? Are you serious?
At least, probably, yes.
Wow.
At least, yes.
So how much of a challenge has this year been for you and the staff having to juggle all these different ideas and who's in and who's out? What am I doing? Where are they? Yeah. Oh, he's got class. How much of a challenge has it been?
Yeah, it's a challenge, but gosh, it's a great challenge. I mean, anyone would kill to have, you know, 13 girls fighting for a spot in the starting lineup, but it's kind of how I've always been. I mean, even on teams that, you know, we have a set 5 best players, we still mix up our starting lineup throughout the season until we hit playoffs because it keeps your players fighting for their time, and really practice is like a game. You know, you are working in practice like you're playing in a game, and that's where you get better to play in the game. So if no one knows what the starting lineup is until you walk in the locker room before the game, then practice is their time to earn their spot in that lineup. I think everyone on our team has started at least one game.
That's really wild that you have to that you're asking them to be ready, and you got to give me 100%, and then I'll let you know with no set starting lineup. That's really a unique way to approach it, but that keeps them game ready each and every day out because you never know when you're going to get called.
That's right. I've never liked, okay, let me have the starting five out here. You shouldn't know that. I mean, you're like, even if a player is better than another player, that player that might not be as good might be someone who's giving you something that you need in a certain game. Somebody might be a better shooter, somebody might be a better defender. So it keeps your players honest, and it keeps them working hard, and it keeps them for each other. You have to, that the last person off the bench has to be as important as your leading scorer, because you don't know if that person's going to be in the game at the end, and it makes them trust each other, because they all feel like they're good enough. And yes, we have players who are better than other players. Yes, we have a clear, line between that, but that just because someone is better doesn't mean they're more important.
Last question for you. How many folks have hit you up for tickets?
Tickets to the game?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, hopefully we'll have a big crowd and lots of people show up. I mean,
All the mountain of salespeople knocking on your door, you know?
We're going to go there and shoot again like we always do. And, we have so much family in Macon, and they'll be there supporting. So it's going to hopefully be a fun atmosphere with a rematch against Holy Innocents.
Okay, so what's my barbecue place that I'm supposed to go eat at?
Oh, Fresh Air. You got to go to Fresh Air.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Jackson. In Jackson, Fresh Air is the place to be.
They're
all the
ridiculous.
way.
Oh, they're amazing. It's always great to see you, my friend. We will see you in Macon. Thanks for everything that you do for high school basketball, regardless of where folks are looking at you. Thanks again. Good to see you.
All right, you too. Thanks.
I start a conversation with Jan, and there are so many other doors that open up. Literally, I could have a sit down with Jan for a half an hour and we would barely scratch the surface, but it's always great to catch up with her. She's chasing after yet another championship. One guest down, one to go. Actually, one gets down, two to go, because it is an odd anchor rush. Cecily Stout, Sammy Costas, WMAZ, they're on the road. They're covering everything going on as they get ready for the Macon Coliseum, the Macon Centerplex, and the Macon Madness. Let's find out how their preps are going with a lot of participation right there in the footprint. And now we wrap up the preview of previews by checking in with the dynamic duo in Middle Georgia, the sports department at 13 WMAZ, Cecily Stout and Sammy Costas. What is up with the both of you? I know this is your busiest time of the year, at least this week anyway. Good to have you guys on with us.
Good to be back, John.
Yes,
thank you.
All right, so who won the toss? Who's answering the first question?
I can go first.
Depends on our question.
She volunteered. So,
volunteered. She's taking it.
All right.
So be nice.
So, Sammy, you're on the road heading to Rochelle as we are talking. Yes.
Yes, we have got to talk to the Lady Patriots before they go and attempt to get back-to-back state championship titles.
All right. So,
that's what I'm doing.
For those now, we safe guesting. We believe in safe guesting here, so we just want to make sure that you get there in one piece. What has study hall been like for the two of you getting ready for Wilcox, East Lawrence, Southwest Macon, and the Houston County Sharks? Sammy, what's it been like for you?
Oh, it's a blast! It's so fun watching these teams competing, and it's been fun, especially seeing. I've loved seeing Southwest get back at it after the finish last season, and they took the Elite Eight game into overtime. So just a lot happening there with those Patriots, and then seeing the Lady Patriots looking to make more history is really awesome. And same with East Lawrence. So
All right. So, Cecily, for those who are wandering into the Macon Coliseum and the Macon Centerplex for the first time, if you had your starting five or your Mount Rushmore or however many athletes you want to bring into this conversation, I'm walking in the door and I'm looking at these athletes from Middle Georgia. Who am I focusing on? And when you look at these teams, who are you locked into as we get ready for everything in Macon?
Ooh, good question. I think for Southwest, unfortunately, it really is that starting five. Those guys are unbelievably talented, but Chase Dupree has been a really big headline for that program throughout his career there. He just passed 2,000 career points, the first Patriot to get it done for the program, which is a really cool achievement. For Wilcox County, I would have to say it's probably Shamari Martin or Tylea Benjamin. Tylea is a really big post player that just fights in the paint. She fights her own teammates sometimes to get the ball. And then for East Lawrence, I would say Deanna Lothar is kind of the heartbeat of that team. But all five of those girls on the floor, it's really what Coach Lothar has told us throughout the season. It's a sisterhood. And they have come to the Final Four a couple of times, but they've come up short. So punching their ticket to the state championship is a huge deal for them.
All right, Sammy, what about from your perspective? Who do you have in the Sammy Costa spot shadow?
Yeah, a lot of the same. Definitely, I'd have Chase Dupree. I'd add C.J. Howard to mine, too. He does great defensively and offensively, working on getting the defensive boards and then tossing it down the other end, and sometimes they work it back to him. Love seeing Chase Dupree also do the same thing. Coach said that he was really working with him on his leadership skills, and we've really seen him grow in that aspect in his senior season. And got to have at least one of the Martin sisters in there. There's three of them. So you've got Shamari, Kamari, and twins, and then Zariah as well. So got to love that. I would say Shamari, too, would be in mine. And Deanna Lothar probably as well.
All right. So, Cecily, we've mentioned the last name Lothar a lot. And when you wander onto the campus at East Lawrence, there is this Lothar aura, because there's more than one Lothar that's a coach, one that's a teacher, and you have all of these Lothars that are there. They could be their own family starting five when it comes to everything at East Lawrence. It's been a family affair there at East Lawrence for this group. I mean, what has it meant to, when you guys have covered so far this season, the East Lawrence community, with everything that they've gotten through to get to this point?
Oh my gosh, the Eastside community is not one to play with. They are so supportive of this group of girls. They have been in the basketball program for the past couple of years for good reason, but this is just a really big milestone. When I talked to Coach Lothar after the Final Four in Fort Valley, she was just really grateful because she's an alum. She played basketball at East Lawrence, so she's just grateful that she is part of the group that's making the history, punching their ticket to Macon, going to play in the Coliseum. But I'm expecting a really big turnout for Eastside. They're a loud and rowdy group, and I think the girls really feed off of it.
And so along those lines, Sammy, you're looking at a very, very busy Friday to start, because it's Elbert County, East Lawrence to start at 1 o'clock. And then after that, Southwest Macon and Rabun County is at 3 o'clock in Class A Division One. So you have back-to-back on Friday. Are you going to encourage folks to start camping out like Thursday night to get in, or have breakfast ready and tailgating? I mean, what kind of, are we going to be in a situation where you're going to have like 9,000 people for back-to-back games here to start things off on Friday? You're going to have more people. You're going to have more people who are going to say, oh, I'm not feeling good, boss. I'm going to be sick. And then all of a sudden you're going to see them on GPB, you know, because they went to go watch basketball. Is this what we're going to be seeing here?
You know, I wouldn't be surprised if it is a sort of like tailgating with the griddle off the back of the truck, and we've got the pancakes, and I mean, you go to East Lawrence games, they've got a girl working for the concession stand, so I would for sure think that they would bring that same energy and more for the state championship game. And the Southwest community is outstanding. Both of these gyms, when I go, my watch gives me a notification of like, hey, you're in a loud environment. That's the juice that they bring. And I think it's so cool, like Cecily said, to see that for a girls' team and to see that amount of support, and for them to be the first East Lawrence girls' team to make it to the state championship game, let alone if they win it. So, yeah, I would, and I'm sure with the level of play that Southwest brings to
to the court that East Lawrence fans will just want to stay to just see how that game unfolds.
So the rundown is Thursday, Wilcox County, which is where Sammy is heading now to get all of the scoop for a defending champ trying to go back-to-back. Wilcox and Washington Wilkes, Thursday, Class A D2 girls at 1 o'clock. It is the doubleheader on Friday. It is Class A D1 girls, Elbert County, East Lawrence, boys, Southwest Macon, Rabun County, and then the adaptive championship Saturday at 3 o'clock with the Houston County Sharks, one of the most dominant programs, I think, if you haven't seen them, a dominant program in adaptive sports and wheelchair hoops. Cecily, you get last question. When it comes to high school hoops in Middle Georgia on the whole, what are folks missing out on by not drifting in and seeing these teams and these kinds of matchups? What are we missing out on?
I think you're missing out on some really unique talent in small towns, but the atmosphere at some of these places is just absolutely electric. These kids get to do really great things. They get to play basketball at a really high level a lot of these times because a lot of the Atlanta schools are now drifting down to Central Georgia to come play these teams. And when they do that, they get to feel the environment, feel how much their town, their community is behind them. I think that's some of the best parts about this. Like, we're excited about the state championships, but all of these games up to this, the Final Four, the Elite Eight, the first round, like, you can feel like it is already a state championship environment. So it's honestly just an extension of that going into it, which is so exciting.
The dynamic duo who is doing safe reporting, safe guesting, safe all, because we need to see them as a part of everyone who's going to be at the Macon Coliseum and the Macon Centerplex, Cecily Stout and Sammy Costas. The dynamic tag team at WMAZ in Macon, we will be watching you, we will be seeing you, and we can't wait to experience it all down there in Middle Georgia. Thanks for coming by, guys. Be safe. We'll see you later on in the week. Can't wait to see all of their work all week long, and I imagine that they're going to be just locked in one place. If you're not going to see one of them live on 13 WMAZ, you'll see the other one live. They're going to be there the entire time. It's going to be fun to catch up with them and fun to see how Middle Georgia responds, as we anticipate that they will, when it comes to these teams chasing after championships. Okay, here's your rundown on all of the GPBs. So however you are going to be consuming your GPB-ness, here's how you do it. Here's the rundown. Starts on Wednesday, and it is Hebron Christian, Holy Innocents. So out of the blocks, it is Jan Azar chasing after Title 17. Then it's Darlington and Holy Innocents at 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. And Holy Innocents is going for the double. I'm interested to see how this works. But you're going up on the girls' side for Holy Innocents. You're going up against the legend in Jan Azar. And Ambassador Jeremy.
Yeah. I'm a Darlington alum.
This is what we know.
I know. This is fantastic. So I actually just got the email from, they send out all the emails.
Come to the championship.
Yes, that's what it says. It says we're going to a state championship game, and it tells you how you can buy tickets to go see the game in Macon,
or you
can stream it on GPB.
Strong.
Yes, I'm very excited about that. And actually, so one of the coaches for Darlington, Justin Bruce, he's an assistant coach there. I've known him since I was 17 years old.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm very excited for Darlington to be down there in Macon, and hopefully they can beat Holy Innocents.
Three-point contest for the boys, and then it is the AAA Championships, Girls Sandy Creek and Heritage at 5:30, Harlem and Cross Creek at 7:30. Thursday, Class A Division II Girls, as we were discussing with Cecily and Sammy, Wilcox and Washington Wilkes bats lead off at 1 o'clock. Clinch County and Portal is at 3. The Girls Three-Point Contest is in between that and the Quad A Championships, where it's Kell and Marist. Marist, Player of the Year, Kate Harpering. Cannot miss an opportunity to see her before she heads to the ACC. Pace Academy in St. Pius is at 7:30. Friday, we mentioned how it's going to be a full house. It's going to be a great environment. It's going to be an amazing crowd at 1 o'clock and 3 o'clock. Elbert County, East Lawrence, Southwest Macon, Rabun County. The co-ed three-point contest. Then it's 5A, Milton and Creekview on the girls' side, Woodward Academy and Alexander. Great talent heading to the next level. You get to see that for the final two matches on Friday. Then Saturday, Hardaway Murray County bats lead off at 11 o'clock in the morning. Then it's Morgan County and Butler. Adaptive championship, and then the slam dunk contest, and then wrapping up the 6A title game, Grayson, North Paulding, Pebblebrook, and Wheeler. Four boys teams, all from Cobb County, were in the semifinals, and they're going to be playing for another state championship. Cobb County is going to take another one home, Pebblebrook and Wheeler. Saturday night, that's the nightcap, 7:30. On all of the GPBs, So we hope that you will be a part of the conversation, a part of our watching, and a part of our enjoying it as well. And it's going to be a blast. We can't wait to bring it all to you. We're going to be in Macon. We're going to be here in Atlanta. And it's going to be nonstop hoops for four straight days. And then we'll talk about it on the flip side, and we'll find out what else is going on. So it's going to be fun. And, Marky Mark, before we go, we have to do this.
Yeah, what do we got to do?
Words of wisdom for everyone who is pursuing a championship indoors on hardwood and not indoors on an artificial surface for football. Words of wisdom from you as we head into 4 days of all basketball all the time here on the GPBs.
I mean, I think it would just be wear the most comfortable shoes, to be fully
honest
with you.
Strong play.
That's my thought.
Strong play. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Make sure that you are properly hydrated.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
And make sure that comfortable shoes.
I mean, maybe bring back stretching. I'm saying. Yeah. I mean, stretching might be the move. I mean, the consistent lesson that I've been learning this entire show.
Stretching is important.
It is, indeed.
Yes. And so comfortable shoes from Marky Mark. That is a very below the radar, underrated thing to appreciate, because by Saturday afternoon late, you're going to need the comfortable shoes because you're going to be there the entire time and you're going to be enjoying it all. And you can go to the GHSA website, find out how you can get in the door. But once again, watch it on all the GPBs. So that's your rundown for everything going on as we get ready for the championships. Thanks to Jan Azar. Thanks to Cecily and Sammy from WMAZ down in Macon. For Marky Mark, for King James, for Ambassador Jeremy, for There Goes Tokyo, Mark Chilla. Do we have an unknown intern this time around or no? Do we not have an... Okay. No unknown interns. So then they're known that they are unknown. So there we go. So for everybody here, thanks to all of you for hanging out with us here on the off-season edition for the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast, where we're talking hoops. Play it safe, everybody. Enjoy the Macon Coliseum and the Macon Madness. We'll catch up with you next time.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.